So we definitely have a December festive season focus to the programming these days. We've spoken about your wallets and how to protect those. Now we're going to be talking about your health and your waistline and how to protect that. I would argue that it's even more challenging. And to discuss that with us is Elska Rich, a registered dietitian and spokesperson for ADSA, which is the Association for Dietetics in South Africa. Elska, great to have you on the Home Run on Chai FM.
Thank you so much. I hope you are doing well.
I am doing well, probably too well. I've been in Cape Town for probably 2.5 weeks already. I swore to myself before I came down that I was going to be good and behave and come home the same weight. Well, I can tell you that is long gone already. It's quite frightening how quickly one can put on unwanted kilos. Why do we do this to ourselves, Elska?
I think we need to understand the social aspects of this time of year. And as many South Africans know, at the end of the day, most of our social gatherings are around food. So, yeah, I'm here today to help with some practical tips and to kind of understand and navigate this season.
That is exactly the problem, is nobody says let's meet and go for a walk. It's never that. It's always around a meal, and I get it. It's social, it's loving, it's the way you can demonstrate that you care, but boy, it comes at a cost, specifically if you don't really have willpower. So I guess that's the first question. We love our braais, we love our traditional foods, and how can we enjoy all these things without compromising our health?
I think at the end of the day, we have to remember that it's about balance and not necessarily about perfection. So, if it's one or two festive meals, it won't derail your health in the sense that you will put on all of this extra weight. But if it's about a whole pattern in the month of December and it's every day where we are not following the balance or things like that, then it tends to add on the kilos and make it that we are unhealthy for this month. So I think to be graceful in the sense that we plan ahead and we know that there are going to be days where we indulge a bit more, but that it's something that is limited and not every single day in December.
Spoken like somebody who has willpower. Okay, I mean, because that's exactly the issue is you do make that plan, you do budget from a food perspective what you are going to eat and aren't going to eat, and then somebody comes around with a box of cherries, unbudgeted for. You stop after four. You stop after four. Just doesn't happen to work like that.
Yeah, so we can put some practical things and we call them behavior change techniques. We can kind of put that in place or have these guidelines in our pocket to see where we can do our best. So, one of the things that I find most practical is to try and see if we can have half a plate of vegetables where possible. So, if it is a braai or if it is a nice Christmas dinner, to see if we cannot make half of the plate full of vegetables, because this will add fiber, which will make us feel fuller for longer. It will also lower the overall energy of that meal, and it will also actually help to stabilize our blood glucose, which then helps us to prevent that feeling of lethargy or feeling tired after we've eaten. So at the end of the day, if we aim for that half a plate of veg, even if it's just at supper time, it will make a big difference.
I hear you, and that's really good practical advice. It makes a whole lot of sense. And I think that also goes to the issue of education, that I think most of us don't know the nutrient value of the foods we're eating. And I don't want to talk too long, but I saw something on the social networks the other day. A lady in Durban showing you the calorie count of, I think it was nothing more than like a teaspoon of peanut butter, a teaspoon of olive oil, a slice of avo, and there was a quarter of a sandwich. And she went through the calorie counts of those four nothing foods on the table, and there was 500 calories right there. That is a quarter of an adult male's calorie intake for one day on food that is going to do nothing to you.
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing there is that a lot of those foods that you've mentioned now are very energy dense and not necessarily nutrient dense. So that comes down once again to including food with more color. So things that are red and orange and green often has a lot more nutrients in terms of vitamins and minerals, which will also help keep us safe in the months to come from different viruses and diseases. So at the end of the day, really trying to focus on getting a variety of food. And something that also works is really to pick your favorites, knowing that you don't have to try everything that is offered to you. Picking your favorites and then genuinely enjoying them without feeling that guilt, can really help as well at the end of the day.
Do you think that food traditions can be adapted to be healthier while still keeping their flavor and, dare I say, their meaning?
No, definitely. I think at the end of the day, it's always about the focus of what can I add to make this meal maybe a bit more balanced and healthy, rather than thinking, oh, what must I take away to make it healthy? So if you want to enjoy your food, make sure that you do enjoy it, but just control the portions and then try to add more vegetables and fruit. So if you are invited to a braai or a gathering, take a vegetable or salad contribution, and then in that way you will make sure that you have that option available to you to dish up for yourself.
Do you not just think that there are kind of two sorts of people on this planet? Those who have the self-discipline to say, I've had enough, I'm okay to stop now, and those more like me who would have survived in times of scarcity because we would have stocked up when there was plenty. Really difficult to stop at one bar of chocolate. Very difficult. One block. I kind of feel compelled to eat the bar.
Yes, yeah, so at the end of the day, that's why I would recommend maybe taking the road with a dietitian or having a accountability partner, because it's very difficult if you are your own accountability police in a sense. So at the end of the day, knowing once again that yes, indulging is not going to be the end of it, but we can't do it every day, and also then knowing that we need to prioritize our health, because in that way, we are going to make sure that we can live long, healthy lives instead of just saying, I'm going to go all out, and then we have the other issues to deal with later, like maybe cholesterol or high blood pressure, which a lot of South Africans struggle with. So I think maybe having an accountability partner, or just knowing and planning, saying that today I'm indulging, tomorrow I'm not, and making time for exercise as well. So even just a 10 to 15 minute walk after meals, or dancing while you cook, or playing outside with the kids and family, it really helps with digestion, once again, blood glucose, and also then stress management. So I think in that way, there are many things we can do to kind of fill up our time and not just eat because the food is available.
Is weighing yourself productive or counterproductive? I'm just thinking of managing the process and tying into what you're saying of, I can't have it all. 70 is my limit. I'm getting close. I need to slow down. I'm getting it. Do you find it a useful tool or a counteractive tool?
I think that depends on the individual, but we recommend weighing once a week. So not every day, because there will be fluctuations depending on fluid intake and things like that. So weighing once a week and keeping an eye on it, there's nothing wrong with that. But when you become obsessive, that's when it becomes a problem. So you can manage it in that way, but the most important thing is how you feel. Do you have enough energy? Are you sleeping well? Things like that over just your weight. So at the end of the day, I think taking the road with a healthcare professional can definitely help monitoring everything altogether, so that we look at it holistically and not just as weight on the scale.
Do you think it's even remotely possible to be able to indulge guilt-free? Do you think that concept ex could exist?
No, definitely. I think at the end of the day, like I said, if you pick your few favorites and it's accounted for throughout the whole day, you've drunk enough water, like I said, maybe you do some exercise, then I definitely think we can enjoy special treats during this festive period without the guilt. And at the end of the day, food is not supposed to make us feel guilty. It's supposed to be enjoyed. So we want the food to be tasty, and we want the food to have lots of flavor. But once again, having a plate of food and not going for seconds, or dishing up the right amount and focusing more on vegetables that are half of your plate, and then a quarter protein, a quarter starch, that's the things that's going to make a difference. If we just eat a whole plate of meat and then go back and have a whole plate of starch, that's when the problem comes in, because then you can't necessarily enjoy guilt-free because you are not sticking to portion sizes. So even though the food is maybe flavorful or a bit more fatty, if we at least stick to portion sizes and we try to increase our fiber, in that way we can still keep healthy during the season.
Where do you stand on, say, calorie counting?
So calorie counting is not something I recommend, just because there's lots of different information out there, and calories is usually also what is used by the Americans. So we normally use kilojoules in South Africa, and you'll see that on all of our packaging and things as well. So it's definitely a tool that can be used if you want to monitor your intake throughout the day. But even just keeping a food diary of everything that you've eaten that day in order to kind of remind yourself of where you are on the road to your goal can also be beneficial. I think Googling how much is in this or using apps, it's not always completely trustworthy. And then we get the wrong idea of food, because healthy fats like avocado and peanut butter is going to be higher in energy, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't eat them. They still have other benefits for the brain and the nervous system, whereas foods like fruits and vegetables, yes, they are lovely and they are healthy and they are low in energy, but if we eat two or three fruits at the same time or smoothies every morning, then it can also be very concentrated in terms of natural sugars. So I think at the end of the day, just focusing on the calories once again is maybe not ideal, but maybe we should focus on the nutrients that are in there and once again the fiber, because fiber is really going to help us stay fuller for longer, help control blood glucose, lower blood pressure, take away cholesterol. Fiber is really the thing that's going to make sure that we reach those goals.
So I really enjoy eating. I just love everything about it. I love the taste. I love the textures. I love the activity. So I thought the only way for me to deal with this is to increase exercise significantly. That then would allow me to eat a little bit more. But at the gym, some wise lady pulled me aside and she said, there is no exercise in the world that will enable you to exercise yourself out of a bad diet. Do you reckon that that is a truism?
I definitely think so. I think exercise is part of an overall healthy, balanced lifestyle because it helps with other things like stimulating bone growth or making sure that we increase our lean muscle mass, because that directly influences your metabolism. So I think exercise has a very important place, but no, I don't think it's possible to exercise your way out of an unhealthy diet. What we eat every day has implications on your whole body, on all of your organs, on your metabolism, and everything in between. So if you are eating unhealthy, you can be very skinny with lots of muscle from exercise, but still have cholesterol in your bloodstream. So at the end of the day, it's important to look at what you are putting into your bodies. And like I said, in this festive season, it's not that we can't have anything that's not healthy. So we follow an 80-20% rule where we say 80% of the time we eat healthy, we look at what we're eating, we make sure that everything is correct, and then 20% of the time we can indulge and make sure that we enjoy our food or have that ice cream on the beach and have family time together.
Elska, what's the one underrated local food that in your opinion deserves more attention because of its nutritional value?
It's going to sound very strange, but lentils is something that you can add to many dishes, and it really just increases the fiber and protein of that dish. So whether you are making a stew or whether you are making rice or whether you are making a potato salad or whether you are making any type of savory dish, lentils is something that we can often add, and it doesn't change the flavor profile. It really just enhances texture and fiber. So yeah, that's just something I feel is overlooked and has many benefits for us every day.
Social media full of fad diets and miracle supplements. I'm wondering which are the trends that actually worry you the most right now?
There's always lots of trends. So I think at the end of the day, I'll never be without a job. But I think some trends that can be harmful is this idea of saving your calories. So skipping meals in order to then indulge later. It's very important to keep a meal schedule So not having these evenings where you overeat because you haven't eaten the whole day, it can really negatively affect your body in many ways. It can actually lead to fat gain because your body is in a starvation mode. And then when you eat again, it then stores everything in the idea that it's going to starve again. So it can cause moodiness, it can cause low energy. So at the end of the day, kind of saving your calories so that you can eat it later is not always the best. So eating small balanced meals throughout the day stays the best. Yes.
Final question for you, and I'm sorry I've kept you so much longer than anticipated or that I'd intended. If you could change one thing about how South Africans think about food, what would that be?
I think food is often seen as an emotional coping mechanism, and at the end of the day, we need to find other ways to reward ourselves. So rewarding yourself with a bath or a book or family time or something like that, instead of just rewarding yourself with food. I think it's something that we have fallen into quite a lot, and sometimes it is necessary or as a gift for someone, but I think where we can, we really need to focus on what other things can I give. Or what other things can I provide myself with as a reward for achieving my goals that is not food related? So I think being creative with that is really important for us to stay healthy for a long time.
Oscar Rich, registered dietitian and spokesperson for the Association of Dietetics, really appreciate your input this afternoon. I really, really do.